The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Welcome to the Banned Book Breakdown, a podcast that delves into the world of censored literature, where we will review and draw attention to the stories of authors who the government has tried to silence. I'm your host, DJ Blue, and remember, literature unites us, censorship divides us. Let's review banned books. Welcome back to the Banned Book Breakdown. I'm your host, DJ Blue, and today, in episode 4, we'll be discussing another Ellen Hopkins book, the book Crank. Let's delve straight into why Crank is a banned book. For starters, it is a book about a young girl struggling with addiction, so that automatically puts in there the use of substances, which is one of the big reasons a lot of books are banned. And then another one is its portrayal of sexually explicit content, as well as other mature themes that people have deemed too mature to be on shelves. So again, we kind of face this argument of, oh, it's glamorizing drug abuse or it's promoting the use of drugs. But oftentimes what we're seeing in these books is that they're doing the opposite. They're trying to spread awareness about issues and bring to life the realities of the struggles people are facing. And in this book specifically, it's loosely based on a true story, actually, of Ellen Hopkins, the author, her daughter. So it is loosely based on her daughter's struggle with addiction. And so it's really important, again, in this book to recognize and to appreciate the fact that Ellen Hopkins is not glamorizing addiction, she's not glamorizing drug use, she's not promoting it by any means, but she is portraying the realistic ups and downs that somebody with struggling with addiction would face. And this is using experiences that she's seen or heard from her daughter firsthand. And then, like we mentioned with the sexually explicit content, it's kind of a similar thing to the drug use portrayed in the books. The book discusses the difficult theme of struggling with sexual assault. And so it's important, again, like with the drug use, to recognize that it's not something that is just random sex scenes throughout the book. It's the portrayal of a very difficult topic that a lot of people, unfortunately, have to go through, and that a lot of people can find solace, again, in literature where they see themselves portrayed or they see the situation that they've been in accurately portrayed. And like I mentioned with other mature themes, I was kind of alluding to the topic of domestic violence that is brought up in the book. And same thing, where a lot of people struggle with this, unfortunately, and a lot of people have to deal with this and face this. And so it's important for them to see a realistic depiction of what they've had to go through. One of the things that recently has been talked about a lot in social media is the importance of seeing representation. And even if it's not always this like positive representation, you still need to see representation in situations that you're dealing with that maybe might not be so glamorous, that are hard and they're difficult things. But at the end of the day, for a lot of people, it's comforting to see that they're not the only ones, they're not alone, and that what they're going through is valid. To delve into the actual content of the book a little more, kind of a synopsis, Crank is a young adult fiction, but it is loosely based on the daughter of Ellen Hopkins, who struggled with a methamphetamine addiction. And Hopkins has actually stated that the novel is about 60% fact, and she wrote it to help understand her daughter's struggles and choices and to help readers further understand and educate them on the struggles of addiction and the dark parts of addiction. And it can also be seen as a mode to kind of try to steer other people away from making those same mistakes. And then for a little bit of a synopsis of the story, the book follows a teenage girl named Christina Snow, who gets addicted to methamphetamine after she visits her absent father. And in the book, she has like this alter ego that comes out when she's using. And this alter ego, whose name is Bree in the book, engages in risky behavior that Christina typically would not do if sober. And these bad decisions kind of lead to a downward spiral, like dropping out of school and becoming a single mother. Another important thing to take into account when we're talking about banned books, but specifically Ellen Hopkins' books that have been banned, she is really good about doing her research on the difficult topics that she discusses. And she's very meticulous about the details that she includes and the way she portrays these hard topics. And it's really important to understand for most banned books, but specifically when talking about Ellen Hopkins, is that she's very mindful of what she includes in her books and the way she approaches these kind of topics. And for that reason, it's really frustrating to me, and I'm sure a lot of other, you know, literature enthusiasts, that so many of these books are getting banned is they're not glamorizing these tough things the way people are saying that they are. At the end of the day, it's just people trying to silence marginalized voices or voices that they don't want to hear from. They don't want to hear from the voice of an addict. They don't want to hear from the voice of, you know, somebody that doesn't have the same experiences as them. And so I actually wanted to include a quote from Ellen Hopkins, kind of a little bit of a longer little anecdote from her, but she gave a response to the banning of so many of her books. And you can find it on aclusc.org. And she kind of delves into her opinions on her books being banned and just the current censorship wave in general. And she said, "I'm Ellen Hopkins. If the name isn't familiar, you probably haven't been paying much attention to the book removal wave sweeping across this country. As the current most banned American author, my young adult novels are among the dozens that have faced regular school and public library challenges, from Texas to Florida, Utah to South Carolina, and even some counties in California, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and New York. No state is immune from the war on intellectual freedom. The battle cries are protect our children and parental rights, but often the foot soldiers don't even have kids. Rather, they are serving a well-funded political drive to cripple public school education and stall or eliminate this country's forward movement toward true equal rights for all its citizens. Most of the targeted books are either written by or have characters representing the LGBTQIA+ population, races other than white and or non-Christian religions. I am a mostly straight, probably white, I was adopted, Lutheran. So why my books? Some of the characters are queer, of color, and or spiritually seeking. But the favorite excuse is sexual explicitness. I have four novels for adult readers that could be termed steamy. My young adult novels never approach that level, though they do have sexual situations, including assault and abuse, as well as young love. I write where my readers live, and teens experience those things every day. I write truthfully because I respect their intellect, curiosity, and sophistication." So that's, you know, touching again on the idea that banning these books where we have to deal with difficult themes is truly just doing a disservice to young people. We're almost assuming that they're not mature enough or they're not capable of handling these tougher topics, these more mature topics. And that doesn't do anyone any good. If we're, you know, are we going to dumb down the content that we're reading? And in so many of these cases, it's high school kids. And, you know, in high school is kind of when you start to face a lot of these issues that are being portrayed. She then says, "My goals always have been to bring broader perspective to their relatively narrow view, to show possible outcomes to choices they'll likely face and help them make more informed decisions. And for those who have already taken wrong turns or had all choice stolen from them, to bring hope and give them a voice." So she explicitly says, you can read the full article, and it's a piece that she actually wrote and is featured. But looking at what she's saying, it's really just reiterating what I've been saying, is that for so many people, these pieces of literature can be such a beacon of hope and a place you know, a mirror where they can see their situations and their struggles and see that it's okay to talk about them. It really includes a quote from an email or a message that she received from, she includes multiple of them, but one of them is specifically about Crank. And it says, "Crank saved my life, opened my eyes to the world I was exposing myself to and rapidly getting drowned in. And then, 2 years later, it did the very same for my little brother. Thank you, Ellen. You've touched our lives forever." So again, this idea that books talking about difficult things are glamorizing them is just not true in so many cases, especially in Crank, where she's showing the brutality of what addiction looks like and how it affects those around the person that's addicted. And that really comes through in some of the emails and messages that she includes that she's received, where people are seeing representation of themselves. And, you know, specifically this person, they recognized, wow, like, this is what I'm living, and they decided to change that. And I just can't see how that can be painted as something negative or something that's, you know, glamorized. And a quote that she includes in her piece that I really liked is, "I often say ignorance is no armor. Knowledge is their absolute best weapon, and books are among the safest spaces to gather information." And I couldn't agree with that more. I think everything Ellen Hopkins says is just so beautifully put and, you know, so like mindfully crafted. And that quote really is, it applies to so many banned books. It, you know, books are just such a tool that we can use. We can either use or we can decide, you know, to ban and censor them. It's so important that young adults and, you know, even kids are seeing different perspectives and different looks on life. It's not just important that we see, you know, the glamorous and the good parts. It is important that we see those, but it's also important that we see the hard things and the difficult things and the not so great things. And especially for people that don't have perfect, polished lives, they need to see representation as well. And I think what we're seeing is so many of the books that are being banned, they're being banned because they're not polished. They're not showing a polished point of view of life. They're showing the hard and the gritty and what people struggling have to go through. And it's, I can't emphasize how important it is that young adults get to see not only the difficult lives that they might be living, but the difficult lives that other people have to live, that the whole world doesn't get to live upper middle class and, you know, a privileged life. And it's so important for all of us to see those different perspectives. And then ends her article with a really great quote that I loved. She says, "As for parental rights, parents have always had the ability to counsel their own children's reading, but no one has the right to decide for my kids or yours what they can or can't read. For local governments to decide otherwise is a travesty." And I think she puts it perfectly. It's, you know, parents should be able to control what their kids are reading. And at the end of the day, that doesn't mean that it's okay for these parents who have issues to decide what other kids should be reading. And like I mentioned in a couple prior episodes, the great thing about books is that you can pick them up, read a page, and close it and put it back down if you don't like it. You don't have to ban it for everyone. Important thing to address with banned books, but also specifically to Crank, is that a lot of times when Crank is being challenged, it's really being stripped of the context of the book, where people are saying, oh, it has drug abuse, or it has drug use, and it has sexually explicit content, but nobody's including that the drug abuse is an accurate and almost sad portrayal of what a person who is addicted to substances goes through. And they're not including that the sexually explicit content is dealing with sexual abuse. And I feel like that definitely dumbs down the content of the book to just trying to make it something that's bad in order to get these books banned. But at the end of the day, the context of the book is so important, and the actual content that it explores is so important. That's all for today's episode of the Banned Book Breakdown. Thanks for tuning in, and be sure to come back next week for episode 5.